I think it lends credence to the fact that I'm a marketer. And once I started doing it, I wanted to help other people launch podcasts. And it helps that I have my own to prove that I can do it. One of the hidden benefits that I got was I speak so much better about my business now because I do it regularly.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
Welcome back to the podcast on podcasting. It's your host, Adam, AAA Adams. And we're going to be talking a little bit about Amy's experience starting a podcast. She's a branding expert. She's got some really cool ideas around branding. So I'm definitely going to extract her superpower on this podcast as well. But before we get that content, I think it's beneficial for you who's either starting a podcast or maybe you're in your beginning stages of podcasting to kind of hear why she started a podcast, what challenges she overcame. I think she's about 75 episodes into her podcast. I was just listening to it a few minutes ago just to prepare for the interview, and some interesting things about brand archetypes. Amy, you said there's 12 or there's more than 12, or is it 12? I can't remember.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me on your show. So there are 12 main archetypes that are universally known, and then you can kind of create your own because there's three parameters that are required for an archetype. It needs to be universally understood, powerful, and evoke an emotion. So if you have something that does all three of those, it can be considered an archetype.
Cool. I think we'll probably get into that because it's probably beneficial for podcasters. I do want to start here, though. Amy Zander, your website's already in the show notes, zediamedia.com. I love how it kind of rhymes. Anything that rhymes like that, it's fun and it's memorable. And I know you do a lot about like wordsmithing, and so we'll probably get into that as well. But why did you start your podcast in the first place? Like, what made you think that a podcast was the right move for your company or for you?
Adam, I have a lot to say about marketing and branding, and I really like to talk about it. And I am a public speaker, so I'm comfortable in front of and behind a microphone and on stage. And I really wanted to reach more people and have more content to put out there on social media to drive people to my website and to my podcast. And I also really love listening to podcasts and discovering new ones and hearing what other people have to say. It's much more enjoyable to me to listen to a podcast than to watch too much news. So that's why I really wanted to reach out and to start a podcast. And I just think that it's an amazing medium to reach people and to get your information out there.
That's funny. My sweetheart's really big into staying up with like current events. So she's like always watching the news, reading articles, her phone like pings her whenever something else happens. And she oftentimes reaches out to me and she's like, oh my gosh, can you believe XYZ happened? I'm like, I didn't know that because I don't know if I'm putting myself in a hole, but I agree with you. Sometimes the news is less beneficial than kind of like growing ourselves, and podcasts are a really good way to do that. And you said you had yourself, you just have a lot to say, you're comfortable behind the mic, and you want to draw people toward your company. So who is it that your company serves and how do you serve them?
Sure. So the main things that we do are digital marketing, social media marketing, and branding, and content creation for websites, blogs, whatever needs words. And then we also launch podcasts for our clients. Awesome. So my ideal client is a small to medium-sized business that has a healthy marketing budget, but doesn't have their own marketing department necessarily.
Got it. Out of curiosity, because I think you're like 75 episodes in. When I was looking today, I think I was listening to the 75th episode, which is pretty remarkable. I think the stat was, last time I checked, it was like 90% of podcasts don't make it past either 6 or 10 episodes. The jury's out on that, but it's like 90% don't either make it past either 6 or 10 episodes. And I thought about that. I thought, that's remarkable. Like, Amy's been doing this. She's 75 episodes in, but I'm wondering, like, in the beginning, if you can even think back to the 75 episodes ago, as you were really just starting to launch your podcast, what hurdles like, and challenges came your way that maybe you didn't expect? And if you don't mind, how did you overcome those?
Sure. So I am a big proponent of reaching out to people who know more than I do. So I just went to some experts that had been doing podcasting. One of my best friends had a really successful trivia show podcast. And I just said, how do I do this? Give me your people. And she hooked me up with a fantastic tech engineer who did all the back end stuff on our website to just get it all set up so that we could have a place for our podcast to live. And then I found a great editor and some people that could create our promo episode with our music and all that kind of stuff. So I asked people to help me and I went to the experts for it. And then I do have a co-host, and that is amazing, but also just another layer of logistics. And we are not in the same location. So we had to figure out, okay, how are we going to talk to each other? How are we going to do this? Where are we going to put the files when we're done creating them? And then we would get to the time to podcast, and like his computer would crash or my dogs would be barking or just a whole host of technical stuff. I feel like we've probably dealt with pretty much all of them that there are to deal with, lost files, stuff that didn't record. So we got through all of that. And that really helps me now when I help my clients launch podcasts. One of the first things I tell them is you have to get really comfortable with predictability. You have to get okay with the fact that like once in a while you're going to have an awesome interview and it just won't record, or you'll lose the file. You'll have to do it over. Like, things happen. Anytime you're dealing with tech, things happen. And so I'm pretty off the cuff kind of person. I don't let that stuff rattle me too much, but I have some clients that are pretty type A and they get really upset and disappointed. And I'm like, yeah, well, just consider that was practice. The next one will be better. So those were some of the first hurdles. And then one of the things that my co-host and I really had to realize was we both have pretty big personalities and we are joke around a lot. And that's part of our podcast. And if one of us wasn't feeling it that day, you know, we record every Thursday morning, and if we're just not feeling it, having a down day or whatever, it's better to postpone and do it later rather than try to force it and then be off brand or not sound like yourself. And that was something that was harder for me to realize, because I'm like, no, I can do it. And he's like, nah, I just don't think you're feeling it. Let's just postpone.
Oh, got it. Now, like with recording every Thursday, out of curiosity, you're publishing once a week, or what's your cadence for the publish?
Yeah, we try. And that was another thing. Like, we don't take our schedule super seriously because we're just trying to have fun with it. And so we try to do it almost every week. We record almost every week. And then my co-host is actually the one that edits the podcast. So sometimes he gets a little backed up or whatever, and it's a couple weeks out. So hopefully our listeners are understanding with that, and they know that we don't have an episode that comes out every single week on the same day at the same time. We're kind of loosey-goosey with that. So that's one of my goals, though, for next year, is to get better about that, have a much better schedule.
So like when you're recording on a Thursday, you're just recording one episode, not multiple?
Typically, yes.
Got it. Cool. Yeah, one thing that I always suggest, and I think it's good to mention it here, it's also good to know that there's multiple different ways to do it. One thing that I highly suggest when people are starting podcasts, that they're always working ahead of the game, never behind the eight ball. It can be surprisingly beneficial for the growth of the podcast to have it come out every, like, really consistently. And it can be stressful. I think it can be really stressful. It was for me when I was doing it that way. When I was trying to like record, for example, on Sunday night, because it was coming out on Monday, sometimes I'm like, ah, shoot, I've got to get this out. And then it just made it feel like a chore. So I like how two things. One is, even though when you're not consistent, you're not letting it stress you out. Because like for me, I think maybe I'm that type A person. And I'm like, I have to get this out and it's holding me back. And I think that's one reason for PodFade, is that when we feel like the podcast is taking so much time and effort, and it can be a little bit stressful. So hopefully the listeners got some takeaways from both thought views from that as well. Real quick. So you said with your original hurdles, original challenges, if you will, like as if you were starting your podcast, you mentioned that you might not have had all of it yourself. So you had like a tech engineer, your partner does the editing, you have a co-host that's going to show up and support as well. I think that that was really smart to find somebody to be able to do some of those things. I did it wrong. When I started my podcast, I figured out, I'm like, I'm going to have to edit it myself. So I love that you were able to understand your strengths and your superpowers, like in the very beginning. Speaking of strengths and superpowers, that I have like another question that's right around that question. It's like one of the superpowers that you had, I was reading your bio, it's talking all about branding. In fact, your podcast itself is about branding. It's called Brand Archetypes. And if you're listening, that link is already in the show notes. But Brand Archetypes, your superpower being branding, I'm wondering if we're a podcaster, like to what level of importance should we be placing our brand through our podcast, in your opinion?
You should always be thinking about your brand, and your brand should permeate everything you do. So that's one of the things we talk to people about first is if you have a business, you have a brand, or you should have a brand. And if your podcast is part of your business or trying to elevate you in some way, selling something, providing a service, something like that, then it should always be on brand. We go so far as to say your brand is so important that it should have to do with how you answer your phone, what color you paint your conference room. Everything you do should be about brand, your company culture, everything. So your podcast should definitely be on brand. If it's not on brand, it's going to be all over the place and it's not going to have a consistent message, just like anything else that you would do in marketing.
How about like in your own brand overarching theme here, Zedia Media is the name of the company and the podcast is Brand Archetypes. But I do notice that like the colors are not the same. The fonts are not the same. So I'm really curious to understand like how are we supposed to think about like branding and that full message moving through like with our podcast and our business combined?
Yeah. So this is a unique situation where I am doing Brand Archetypes with my mentor, Kevin Skerritt. He has his own marketing company, which is called Flock Marketing. I have Zedia Media, and then we do Brand Archetypes together. So Brand Archetypes is a tool that Zedia Media uses with our clients, and it's a branding concept. So even though it is part of my business, it started off as its own separate thing.
Yeah.
So because Kevin and I kind of owned it together and did that together and separately from our individual companies. So Kevin's looking at retiring at the end of this year, actually just in a few weeks, and I'm going to be heading up more of Brand Archetypes. So lately, as I create the episodes, I have been using my fonts and more of my colors and things like that, because eventually I will be bringing it truly under the umbrella of Zedia Media. So it's been a little tricky. And if I have to say, if anything bugs me in that type A way, that it's that. Because it is a little bit inconsistent just because of the way that we first started it and that we were doing it as a partnership. However, I have another podcast that I do under Zedia Media with a co-host, and that's a local one where we interview local business owners. And that one is fully branded to Zedia Media. So I get it. Yeah. And ideally, you would want to brand it all the same if your podcast was part of your company.
So if you don't mind spending just like a moment and speak to me as if I'm a brand new podcaster, I'm coming to you to start my podcast and I'm trying to figure out how do I brand my business and my podcast in more of like a congruent way, what would be some of the pointers that you would give me as a new podcaster?
Sure. So before I'd even talk to you about your podcast, I would just talk to you about your business and your business brand. And I would ask you, what is your business brand? And a lot of people think that their brand is their logo, their fonts, their colors, their tagline. That's not your brand. Sorry, okay. Might be a shocker for some people. Those are brand elements that support your brand. Your brand is an emotional connection that you are making with your clients. And you can't have all the emotions and all the feels, right? You've got to narrow it down and you've got to pick one. If you don't have a consistent brand and your brand is all over the place. So if you remember, I was saying that an archetype is universally understood, powerful, and it evokes an emotion. And isn't that what we want all of our brands to do, right? We all want that. So if you pick an archetype and base your brand off this archetype, your brand will be all those three things. It will be consistent and it will be recognizable and people will start really identifying with it. So there are 12 archetypes that were defined by Carl Jung and some other philosophers and things like that, because they exist in all cultures on earth, which goes back to universally understood. So for example, I like to use the word mother. We all understand what a mother is. So Adam, when I say to you, give me some words that describe a mother and how a mother makes you feel.
Okay, I'm on the spot. All right, so some words to describe a mother is nurturing, supportive, loving, caring. Those are the ones that come to my mind first.
Those are the big ones, sure.
There was a second part of the question. Do you want me to answer it now or wait?
No, go ahead.
Okay, the second part of the question was, the first part was, give me some words that describe a mother. And then what was the second part?
Oh, well, you kind of did it both.
Okay.
How a mother makes you feel. Yeah. So I know, believe without a shadow of doubt, that if I asked that same question to anybody on earth in any culture, in any country, in their language, they would come up with the same types of words because we all know what a mother is. So if a company were to adopt the mother archetype as their brand, then everything that they would do would be about nurturing, caring, making people feel supported, included, loved. Customer service would be a huge part of your business and your culture. And then what you do is you build your brand around that idea and that feeling. This is how we always want our customers to feel. So every time you do anything, whether it's a billboard, a blog post, a brochure, a podcast episode, or anything like that, all you have to ask yourself is this mother enough? And you will know the answer. You will know whether it's yes or no, not even having to be a branding expert because you know what a mother is. So if I showed you like five websites and I said, pick out the one that's the mother archetype, Adam, you would know. You'd be able to do it. Any listener would be able to do it because we all know what a mother is. That's why brand archetypes is so powerful and is so easy to use. It's not always easy to figure out which archetype you are, but once you do, it makes your marketing so clear and so much easier. So going back to your original question, what would I tell a new person podcasting? I would say, let's get really, really clear about your brand, because that will dictate the kind of podcast you have, the kind of music you use, the cadence of your tone, the kind of guests you have on there. It'll dictate everything.
Okay, cool. Thank you for going into that. How about, I really am curious, like even after 75 episodes published on this one podcast, and I missed the Zedia Media podcast before we got started as well. So it's like you've actually got two podcasts and tons of experience doing podcasts. So I'm wondering, is even though there was some of these hurdles, a tech engineer, somebody to edit the podcast, having that co-host, and your other podcast for Zedia Media has a co-host as well. I'm just curious, like what challenges you might be still facing after 75 episodes on one podcast and also your second podcast too.
Sure. So we've experienced this a little bit here today, you and I, Adam, is when you have a co-host or somebody you're interviewing, it's talking over each other or cutting each other off. So that happens a little bit. And so we have to get really good at that. It helps when you're on Zoom or using video so you can see each other. That's a big help. And also having a good editor and just learning how to pause a little bit, make sure the other person's done talking, that kind of thing. The other thing that we do is that we have a script. So it's very loose because, especially the brand archetypes one, because we try to kind of do off the cuff and it's a little bit more of a fun podcast, but we do have a script that we follow and we write it like a few days ahead of time or a week ahead of time. We go over it. We talk about it before we do it so that we're on the same page and there aren't really any surprises. And then with my other one, the local Lansing one, we have a guest on every time. So the big challenges with that one is that even though we send them saying, please have a microphone, please have headphones, a lot of them don't have that, or they have earbuds that fall out all the time and they make weird noises and you can't really account for your guests aren't always professional podcasters. So you have to be a little bit lenient with that, but you try to prepare them as much as possible. But that's something that still happens. I had one a couple weeks ago where their headphones just weren't working, like they had earbuds and it just wasn't working. And I'm like, you know what? We're going to have to reschedule because I want you to sound really good and this isn't sounding good. And we're just going to reschedule when you get a different set of headphones. So I've been playing around with different ways to record podcasts. I want to take mine to like YouTube and video next year, like you do now. That's one of my goals for next year. So I'm looking at like StreamYard and some other things that help you record your podcast for video as well. Yeah. So those are some of the challenges that I'm working. My biggest challenges are just like working with the other people and their tech issues.
So one of the things that you mentioned was that with having like a guest and a co-host, or sometimes it can be a challenge that we might be talking over each other. And the ways that you are trying to overcome it is giving a little bit more space after somebody seems like they might have been finished talk, just to make sure that they don't have anything else. And then you also have a good editor, like to be able to support any fluffs, any problems that might happen. And the third thing that you're doing to kind of try to support that is having a script. And that made me think, because for me, I don't know if I have like a script, like when I do a podcast. I definitely am more likely to use bullet points or scripts if I'm doing a solo episode. If I'm doing an episode like just today, I'll have questions. I'll follow kind of like a map maybe. So I want to understand what you mean by script, how is beneficial. You said sometimes you started even a day or a week ahead of time. I'm curious, like, based on the people that might be listening, are we going to suggest that they have scripts or bullet points prior to doing their podcast? Is it something they have to do a day or a week ahead of time, in your opinion? What are your thoughts about that?
Sure, I've got a couple. So for the local Lansing one, where we interview people every single time, we do have a set list of questions that we ask every time. They're the same. And we send those ahead of time when they book to be on our podcast. So they get an automatic email with those questions. And then we just kind of go from there. And we start that podcast saying, tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about you and your business. So I'm always taking notes and using what they tell me to go in deeper and ask further questions. So we do ask questions additionally to the scripted ones. And it's only a handful of ones. We ask them who they are, what they do. We ask them some challenges. We ask them what they're reading, some bad advice they got, some good advice. They're not super in-depth questions, but and we usually throw a lot of those pre-qualified questions towards the end of the podcast. And I like to think that our listeners are looking forward to those things. They want to know what other business owners are listening to, what their advice is and things like that. So we put it towards the end. So that is more for our guests than it is for us, so that they're prepared. And most of them aren't podcast experts, haven't done a lot of this. And so they're nervous. And so that helps them, and it helps them feel like they're prepared to know what's going to happen on the podcast. So for Brand Archetype, I've been doing a lot longer. We know what we're going to talk about ahead of time, because each episode has a very specific topic. And sometimes it's about a specific archetype. Sometimes it's about a particular company. We often cover like rebrands of companies, whether we thought they were a good idea, a bad idea, that kind of thing. Like when Rite Aid recently redid their whole rebranding, we talked about that. So Kevin, my co-host, does a lot of the research, and he's really good at these scripts. And we don't follow them word for word. They're more like bullet points, but he'll say like, I'll have his name, Kevin, and then what he's going to talk about. And then Amy, you talk about this. And sometimes it's suggestions, sometimes it's facts that he really wants me to actually say what's on there. But it's more of a guide. And we've been doing this long enough that we were practiced at it, and it's more like a guide. But it was really helpful in the beginning when we first started off and didn't know what we were doing.
Very interesting. I appreciate you going into that. That a lot of small takeaways that I think are helpful for us to just be thinking, how are we going to do our podcast? I'm curious, like with your podcast, because this is the case for me, there's been a lot of hidden benefits to podcasting. For example, I guess what I'm trying to say is that for starting a podcast, there were a lot of benefits that I expected. And then after having a podcast, there were additional benefits to me or my business, to my growth, that I didn't actually know would happen. And I'm curious for you, through your experience of having the two podcasts and doing it for as long as you have, can you identify one or two or some of those hidden benefits that you've gained just because you have a podcast that you never really realized would happen?
Yes. Yeah, that's a really good question. I really enjoy saying I have a podcast. I think it makes me sound cool, especially with like my teenagers. They think it's really cool. I have a podcast, even though they never listen to it and that kind of thing. So I think it lends credence, I guess, to the fact that I'm a marketer. And once I started doing it, I wanted to help other people launch podcasts. And so it helps that I have my own, obviously, to prove that I can do it. But one of the hidden benefits that I got was I speak so much better about my business now because I do it regularly and I'm doing it publicly, basically. And so that helps me. I'm already a trained public speaker, but I can always improve. It helps me network better because I'm, you know, especially with the local one, because I'm just meeting so many local business owners. I'm networking and they're reaching out to me, finding out about them. But when I'm at networking events, I can speak about my business and about other people's businesses so much better because I'm always learning. And that was something that I didn't really think about.
I like that. In your bio, it talks about after you've been doing this business, I think for like 6 years and helping people brand and things like that, marketing. I'm curious though, like when you say in your bio that you help people like craft the perfect content for unique situations, how, if there is a blanket way, if there is a way that can help anyone who's listening that we might be able to share with them some of the ways that we can craft good content through our podcast, is there a system that you use that you can share with us today?
Yeah. So I am a writer before I'm anything else. So I've been writing since I could hold a pencil. Basically, I have a journalism degree and I've always been a writer. So that comes naturally to me. I've always said I'd rather write a 30-page paper than take a one-page math test. So part of that comes naturally to me. But again, it really goes back to your branding and that archetype and that emotional connection you're trying to make with people. Are you the jester? Are you funny? Is what you're doing comical and funny? Are you serious? Are you all about numbers and statistics and facts and wanting people to trust you because you're credentialed and you know what you're talking about? Are you an expert in your field? You could be the ruler archetype where you're just the best at what you do and people either believe you or you don't, but you don't really care. That's one archetype. I mean, there's 12 of them, but it really goes back to that. And we have word banks at Brand Archetypes for all 12 archetypes. So there are pages and pages and pages of words and phrases and verbs and adverbs for your archetype. And so what I say to people, say they chose the mother archetype, we'll go back to that one. They get the word bank for the mother. And you flip through them with a highlighter and you start highlighting all the words that really jump off the page at you that identify with your business, your mother brand business, not everybody else's mothers, but your brand. And then you take all the words that you highlighted and you plug them into thesaurus.com. So take each word, plug it into thesaurus.com, and then write down the additional words that you like that pop up. So what you're doing here is creating your own word bank based off of ours that has to do specifically with your business. So then when you have this arsenal now, so you start peppering all your marketing with these words and phrases, your website content, your blog posts, your podcast scripts, everything you're doing. And it is really surprising and quite magical how quickly this brings your brand around to being more succinct and more in line with the emotional connection that you're trying to make with your audience. So that's one of the very first things that we do with our clients.
I think I'm in the right website, thesaurus.com.
No, thesaurus, you know, like dictionary and thesaurus. Okay. Sorry.
I wrote it down totally wrong.
I mean, okay. You could use an
thesaurus.com. So basically what you're saying is you're helping to grow that word bank for yourself. Is that kind of what you do on there?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I'm helping my clients make their own word bank specific to their company and their brand.
Yeah. Got it. Man, you shared quite a bit. And then I went to the wrong website and I'm like, thesaurus. I don't know why I thought you said something else. Nobody go to the other website. I was real confused. I was looking at it being like, huh, how does this help? Anyway, so with the main question that I had three or four times while you were mentioning like the mother archetype and selecting a archetype, not a marketype.
It's just that's a good word, though. I think we should make that
a new word.
A marketype.
I'm thinking to myself, like, can we make a hybrid archetype? Is there such thing as like putting one or two or three of these together?
I'm so glad you asked that question. Yes. So it happens quite often. And I would say I wouldn't put three together, but I would do two. And what you want to do is you can either mash them up together and create a brand new archetype, or you can have a lead archetype and a sub archetype. So what that means is we worked with the local, my hometown, actually right here in Grand Lodge where I live, the city, and we walked them through their brand archetype, and they were trying to go between the neighbor archetype, which is sometimes called the everyday guy, girl archetype, and the jester. And which is interesting because I don't know if you know this, but little old Grand Ledge in Michigan is like one of the parade capitals of the US. We have like, seems like we have a parade here every week for something. And we're kind of a fun, festive town. So the jester fit. So what we did was we like, well, let's think about a hilarious person that it would be awesome to live next door to have your neighbor as your neighbor. And so they landed on Robin Williams. That would be so fun to live next door to Robin Williams and have him as your neighbor. And so that's the archetype that they landed on. That was how they combined the two archetypes, the neighbor and the jester. So they did it pretty evenly and equally. So that was one way where they matched them up. And then another one is just having one main archetype and then a sub archetype. But what you don't want to do in that situation is flip-flop them. So say you want to be the neighbor first, always, and the neighbor archetype's general feeling is you make everybody feel like they belong and you care. And there's like a lot of high trust because you're familiar with them, you know them. And so you want to be the neighbor first with like the undertone of jester, kind of a little bit funny, quirky, but you don't really want to flip-flop them. You wouldn't want to have an ad campaign that goes out that's like full force jester, like crazy, wacky, funny, and then a little bit of neighbor, because that's flip-flopping your brand.
Very interesting. So your website, your main website is zdiomedia.com, but you also have a place where we could go if we wanted to find our archetypes. Is that right?
Yeah. So brandarchetypes.com. And up in the left-hand corner, there is a free questionnaire that you can take. It's 90 some questions and you answer them with your business hat on. And at the end, it will list all 12 archetypes in order for you based on your answers. And then you can click on each one of them and it'll take you to the page on the website that tells you all about that archetype. It will explain.
Is it free to get, like, so that's automatic, but I'm curious to know, like, if these word banks are unlocked for free as well, or how we get those.
Yeah, the word banks are $29.95, so $30. Yeah, cool. So those are not free, but your questionnaire is free. You get the results right away. We don't put you on some spam list and bug you every 30 minutes after that.
But every 31, though, right?
31 minutes, yeah, sure. Yeah, but it's really helpful. And on each page for each archetype, we do a SWOT analysis of each one. We have examples of companies that are using these brands, you know, what your company culture could be like, those kinds of things. And so it's really helpful. So the process is, when I work with a company, they come to me and they really want to like redo their brand or get their brand very specific. The first thing we do is we have all the decision makers take that questionnaire individually, and then we compile them into a grid. And then the second step is that we do a 2-hour brand discovery session, which is a giant brainstorming session where we put all kinds of words and phrases up on the board. We color code them, we move them around. And at the end of that 2 hours, almost every time the archetype pretty much reveals itself. And a lot of times they're going back and forth between a couple and we talk about the pros and cons of each one and that kind of thing. And it's a really amazing team building experience. And it's surprising all the time. Usually if we have a group of 5 or 6 or 10 people, there's always usually like an outlier who's like, no, but I think it should be this. And they're kind of off on their own, but they bring a lot of value to the table. So that's like the first 2 steps. And then once they put their flag in the sand and say, okay, this is the archetype we're going to be, then we go back to everything that they're doing, even the name of their company, their logo, the colors and everything. And we say, okay, is this in alignment with your archetype? Yes or no? And if it's no, what do we need to do to make it more in line with your archetype? And so then we start going through all the major things. And that part of it's like a 3 to 6 month process, usually.
So out of curiosity, if someone listening doesn't have their podcast all set up and they want to go through your company, like, is it going to take 6 months for them to have a podcast launched? And also, like, once the podcast is launched, a 2-part question, how long does it take? And the second part is like, how much of the process can they offload to your company? Do you guys edit everything, publish everything, all that kind of stuff? I'm just real curious. And I think a listener is too.
Right. Sure. Good question. So if you're a brand new podcast who hasn't really come up with a name necessarily yet, or you have, you know what you want to talk about, but you don't have any branding, it's real quick. So it's the questionnaire, it's the 2-hour session, it's figuring out the brand. We can help you even come up with a name for it, all that kind of stuff. And then you have to have a website, your own website. So that's where your podcast lives, and all of our backend stuff on the podcast that we need to set up to host your podcast would take less than a week. And then we would have to create at least one episode for you so that you can get everything lined up and pushed out to like Stitcher and iTunes and all those things. You have to have at least one episode. So that includes coming up with your theme music, an intro. Usually people either have a logo or a graphic for their podcast too. We can create those if it's different than your business logo. And usually that first promo episode isn't a long full episode. It's like 5-10 minutes, just introducing the idea of your podcast to get it launched out to the world. So that whole process, depending on how much information the client has together, could take just a couple of weeks. And then we also coach people on the equipment that they need to buy. Typically, it's just a really good headset and microphone to start with. And we can give you lots of different ideas and options for those. I mean, if you're getting going with a Yeti microphone and a headphone, you can get away with just $150, $200. We'll get you started. And then we can do all the editing. So basically, you record the file, you upload it to a Dropbox, and we have a 48-hour turnaround on editing, or sooner. Our editor is really fast. So he takes out all the ums and uhs and ahs and blank spaces and goof ups, and then he adds your intro music and your outro music, any advertising you might have in the middle, that kind of stuff. And then he sends the file back and we can upload it to your website. And then we do all the social media marketing as well. So we can push it out to all your marketing channels and make sure it gets on YouTube and all that kind of stuff as well. So we're full circle.
Awesome. Anything else you want to share with a brand new podcaster? What do you think is the most valuable thing in the back of your mind right now?
I think that you have to do a 1 year, kind of have in your mind that you're going to commit to this for at least a year to see it get off the ground. So whether that means you're recording once a week, every other week, once a month, I kind of, like I said, we're a little bit loosey-goosey with our schedule. We shoot for once a week. So have a calendar and set up and know at least loosely what you're going to talk about and what you're going to do, and designate a specific time every week that you're going to record. So just put it on your calendar and block it in and don't disrupt it. Try your best. Whether it's Thursday morning, Sunday night, whatever you're doing, just stick to that. Just like any other meeting or appointment that you would have, make it with yourself and do it and stick to it. And your show notes are really important. So you want to make sure that you put all the right SEO keywords in there and all that kind of stuff and the links to everything that you talk about. That's really important. That's going to really help the traction on your podcast. The better show notes you write, the better your podcast will do.
Awesome. Amy, thank you for jumping on the show and sharing with us the archetypes. We'll make sure that the Brand Archetype website is in the show notes. Zedia Media is in the show notes as well, so people can get those free resources and check out your podcast. And yeah, just appreciate you jumping on and sharing selflessly some of your, how important words are and how we can find the right words and find the right archetypes to be able to grow our brand and keep it congruent across all platforms. Appreciate you. And if you're listening, you just know that every other episode is a solo episode as well. So I'm excited to share shorter content with you on the very next episode. Don't go anywhere. Just pass right to the next episode. And it'll just be pouring into you, giving you some one-on-one info that you need in order to be a better podcaster. We'll see you there. If you're glad that you checked out the podcast today, if you got some value out of this episode, some actionable takeaways, I invite you to do one of three things. A, you could do a written review on Apple. Let us know what you think. Just an honest written review. B, you could share the podcast with a friend of yours who needs it. Or C, at the very least, implement what you've learned to take your business and your podcast to the next level. And I'll see you on the next episode.